Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, final hour of the week. Thanks so much for being with us. Final hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We will get into the big story of the day just a couple of minutes from right now. Big college football Saturday ahead. Number one Texas welcoming in the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll get into that. Get into some of the other big games as well that we haven't had a chance to really talk about yet. Keys to a Falcons victory over the Seahawks coming up in 20 minutes as well. And then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things up at 1:40. Any question, any topic, phone lines open, all that good stuff. One thing to mention. Well, I guess congratulate, thank, whatever, and then mention. Shout out to everybody that listened to this show that donated to our Helene Assist fundraiser over the last couple of weeks. We set out a goal of raising $10,000. We surpassed that goal. We're at $12,500 now, which is incredible. That fundraiser is going to go through this afternoon. I think we might keep it up through the weekend because I think they're still going to do some live reads on the Falcons broadcast to try to get the message out as well. So if you can, we're still accepting donations. You can head to 929thegame.com. There's a link there. You can go straight to the supportnow.org page /the Helene Assist. And I mentioned this earlier this week with Randy, but obviously all of the flooding and devastation that took place in Western North Carolina and other parts of that region, the water's gone for the most part. I know Asheville is still dealing with a lot of that, but for the most part now it's just people sort of left picking up their lives. And in a lot of cases, folks are without homes. Their homes are gone, or at least so water damaged that they can't be in them at this point. And folks are living in tents on their property. And it's cold. Like, if you think it's cold here, it's always quite a bit colder up there. The kids did go back to school this week, but a lot of kids are going back to school without the stuff that was in those houses, including warm clothes and coats and stuff. So some of the money that we raise is going to go toward that. I was talking to my mother-in-law. Because one of the things they're trying to do is get kids that are in that situation portable heaters or winter coats or gloves or whatever, that kind of stuff to try to get through. But yeah, that's the situation that folks are in right now is, all right, our house is unlivable. We don't have any other place to go. We've got a tent and some stuff that we can sort of get by with. And so they're camping in the cold. So anyway, if you have an opportunity to donate, please do. 929thegame.com, the Helene Assist, or on our supportnow.org page. And thanks so much to everybody who has. All right. Let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow! Left me hanging. Boo!
We really haven't talked about it much because, you know, I don't think that lasts so long in a game. It doesn't last the whole four quarters. So sometimes it's extra motivation, and our guys have talked about it a little bit. But it's not a position that we've been in a lot, but it's one that you can take advantage of, or you can do something about it.
I don't buy that. That's the right thing to say publicly. That was Kirby Smart being asked by Scott Van Pelt on TV how much the underdog factor plays into it. We've heard these leaked audio bits of Kirby throughout the years, like motivating the team in the locker room, either at halftime or before games or whatever.
Right.
Like, they did a whole thing a couple of years ago where they were like, they picked us to be 7-5. No one picked them to be 7-5. All right. No one did that. But they glommed onto it all year and used it as motivation, which is fine. Like, whatever you convince yourself. They literally are underdogs right in Vegas. Like, it's actually true that Vegas thinks that, and a lot of people think that they're going to lose this football game. If you don't think he's trying to use that to motivate these guys, then you're crazy. Now, I don't know how much it matters, but he's definitely using that to motivate this team.
Not only is he using the fact that they're underdogs, the fact that the line grew in favor of Texas, like that, I mean, that even furthers it for him.
Yeah.
It started at 4, fellas. Now it's at 5.5.
Yeah, again, I don't know how much they get into like the details of the all that. But you know what I mean? Like, the fact that they're going in there.
My buddy knows a whale out in Vegas, and he put his money on Texas.
Right. I mean, it's a part of it. And I get it. Like, I do. I understand why you can look at this matchup and think to yourself, yeah, it's Texas is going to win this game. It's going to be hard for Georgia to go in there and win this game. Now, I think Georgia is going to win the game, and we can get into what that's going to take and why and all that stuff here. But I don't blame anyone who's analyzing this thing, looking at what Texas has done. And honestly, it's not even as much about that. Like, Texas has gone about their business the way that they're supposed to.
It's not about them at
all. It's about the way that Georgia has played. That's why Texas is favored in this game.
The question we have to answer, and by we, I mean the team out on the field Saturday, is what exactly is Georgia? Are they one of the best teams in the country that have not performed up to those standards? Or is what we've seen on the field the best that they can do? And that's good. It's good enough to probably keep you maybe in the playoff discussion, but you're not going to win a national championship if that's what you are. I think the thought process, and quite frankly, Andy, the hopes for a lot of Georgia fans is we haven't been our best selves in the secondary. We haven't been our best selves in the run game. We haven't been our best selves as far as Carson Beck turnovers. We haven't been our best selves the defensive front impacting opposing quarterback. There's a lot of things Georgia can look at and say, that's not anywhere close to what we can be. And if we can be that on Saturday in Austin, we're going to win this game. But I don't know if they're just saying that or they actually are that team.
Right. I don't either. And what you hear from the optimists, and Roddy Nabalsi brought it up in the 11 o'clock hour, is you've seen flashes of it, which is true. There have been flashes of it. I think there's some context to some of those flashes. I think some of what happened in the second half against Alabama, not all of it, but some of it is due to Alabama.
They took their foot off the gas.
Playing a bit more, a bit more conservatively defensively.
They stopped running their quarterback.
And that's something that Kalen DeBoer teams have done historically. I don't know why teams do that, but teams do that, and that was part of it. But flashes aren't really what make a great team, right? Like, consistency is what makes a great team. And unfortunately, Georgia hasn't shown consistency.
You're not going to build your whole season on flashes in games.
You're not. Not if you're playing legitimately excellent opponents, which Georgia is this year. They already have and will continue to, certainly will tomorrow afternoon. And I'm with you. Like, it either is or it isn't at a certain point.
Right.
Like, and I think tomorrow kind of is that point. It's like, if you are one of these teams that's capable of beating a Texas or whatever, beating a number one team and competing for a national championship, at a certain point you have to do it. If you don't do it tomorrow, if you play in flashes or even inconsistently the way that you have for the majority of the season thus far, you're likely going to lose, and then the narrative surrounding the team changes. Then you say, well, all right, they're just a good team that isn't on that level, which happens. There's also, it's also not crazy if that's where it gets tomorrow night to explain how. Like, you've been ridiculous for a few years. You lost a lot of talent. Sometimes you can just restock the shelves. Sometimes you can't. Like, sometimes it's just a step back, and that's what happens to great programs.
And sometimes
you're back next year or whatever. But
recruiting services miss on 4 stars and 5 stars. And I know you got those guys, but, like, people miss on them.
Right. Sometimes analysts, whether it's us or others, buy into a unit, and they're wrong about them. Like, clearly people have been wrong about Georgia's offensive line. I think part of that is guys being out. I think Tate Ratledge being out is a big part of it. I know that Roddy Nabalsi told us that Jared Wilson would likely be back tomorrow. I think that goes a long way.
Yep.
I think some of the struggles that they've had in running the ball, and just in general, offensively, have been from, and we heard this earlier in the week from Brandon Adams, and Randy talked about it as well, the communication on that line, identifying what they're seeing. Seeing it and then telling everyone else on the line what's happening, or somebody who's in there not seeing it and not identifying it and having that come back to bite you. So hopefully Jared Wilson playing will help that operation go. I'm just – the reason that I think Georgia wins this game is I think what we've seen from Texas so far is a bit inflated by who they've played
against. It's wildly misleading. I'll go ahead and say it. It's wildly misleading. It doesn't mean they're not that good.
Yeah.
But the stats.
But they also have to show it too.
Yeah.
Like, Georgia has played more high profile games and certainly been under a bigger microscope because of that so far this season. And at times they've failed and at times they've succeeded. Texas hasn't really been tested. Like, I understand they had what appeared to be a big matchup against Michigan. Michigan's not very good. Anybody who's watched him play knows that. Obviously, last week against Oklahoma, anybody that watched that game saw what Oklahoma was. But maybe you also saw what Quinn Ewers was early in that game. And then they went away from trying to really let him throw the ball. And I don't know if that's still going to be the case tomorrow. I don't know if they're sandbagging, keeping something under the vest for Georgia tomorrow night. I don't know.
Preparation.
I'm not sure.
Double pass.
But I don't know. I don't buy it from them until I actually see it.
They're going to be parts of Georgia, multiple parts of what Georgia does, that is the best that Texas has seen all season. Mm-hmm. I think the quarterback's going to be the best. I do think the defensive line is going to be the best, mm-hmm. Although you can make your arguments for Oklahoma and what they did, mm-hmm. but they played Oklahoma differently because they knew Oklahoma couldn't score. I don't think they can take that approach against Georgia. They've got to be real careful on offense, does Quinn Ewers. He turns the ball over.
He does. Honestly,
they've got four turnovers in their own territory this season. No touchdowns allowed on that.
Yeah.
That has to change for Georgia.
Yeah. Carson Beck's thrown some bad interceptions with chances to score as well, obviously. 200 yards of dropped passes. That has to change. I mean, not to oversimplify, but if Carson Beck doesn't turn the ball over and they get explosive plays in the run game, again, that's what it's going to take. I guess I'm saying I expect that to happen tomorrow night, but that's how Georgia wins. That's why I'm picking Georgia to win. I think it's going to be a good game. What do we got? What are you picking? Are you going to wait till tomorrow? What are you doing?
No, I don't have a great feel. I think Georgia can win this game. I don't know what team they are. I don't. And that's the thing. I think if Georgia plays up to their standards, the team that we believe they can be, they're going to win this game.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's in them or not.
It needs to be consistent.
You know where I lost it? It was the Auburn game.
The flashes have been better than anything I've seen from Texas this year.
They had a chance to bury Auburn to the point where I'm like, that's the team that could go into Texas and win. And it went the other way. Auburn came back and made it a game.
I just also trust Kirby Smart to come up with a better game plan than Sark in this matchup. I just think Kirby's a smarter, savvier coach than he is. And that doesn't always win the
day. We've been waiting to see the Georgia defensive front impact the quarterback. I think tomorrow's the day, and I think it cost Texas the game.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to keys to a Falcons victory as well. We didn't get a chance to get to any of the other big college football games. We'll do that, and then we'll get to a keys to a Falcons win after this right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday. I had a... dang it.
Did you lose something? You lost a text or something?
Yeah, Derek and Charlotte sent me a picture of what he was drinking. I think I remember what it was. It was like an Ice House Tall Boy.
Okay.
And then a Mike's Hard Black Cherry or something like that. So maybe he's got company. I'm not sure. Maybe he's drinking both of them. Maybe he's double fisting. I don't know. If you're out there drinking something, send us a picture of it. We'll give you a shout out on the radio at TBM929. 20 minutes away from an AMA. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open on a Happy Hour Friday at 404-726-0929. As always, the final hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. And we always do our keys to a Falcons victory at this time, and we will. We will in just a couple of minutes as the Falcons take on the Seahawks on Sunday afternoon right here in Atlanta. We just haven't, with everything else going on and, you know, I don't know, we got sidetracked on some stuff. We spent a lot of time on Texas and Georgia, obviously. Haven't really said anything about any of these other college football games that are happening. Alabama and Tennessee is at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. That's going to be a really... I don't know if it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be a good
game. It's a big game. It's an important game. It's a huge traditional rivalry. It also
My feeling is that it's not going to be the most watchable game just because of how good Tennessee's defense is, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But yeah, it's a huge game, obviously.
It almost feels like it actually might be an elimination game.
It could be.
Like Tennessee for sure because of what's on the rest of their schedule. Mm-hmm. Alabama... Their schedule, I mean, they got LSU still. It's going to be tough for either of these schools.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is when people talk about, okay, does two losses eliminate you? I mean, probably not. But
well,
again, when you're 5-2, there's a lot of football left. And when you have two losses in seven games, what tells you you're going to be able to make it through the rest of the way without one? Like, and also nothing about the way that those two teams have played of late would tell me that they're capable of going undefeated for the rest of the season as well.
Shameless plug for college football game time tomorrow, 8 to 10, and then also 10 to noon. Because I wrote up something I was going to talk over with Garrett, and I can bring it out here. I think the thought process was 10-2 was going to get an SEC team in with the idea that that 10-2 team was Texas or Georgia or Alabama. You've got, if Tennessee wins tomorrow, potential there. Mm-hmm. LSU potential. Sure. Texas A&M potential. Sure. I think there's a lot more discussions for 10-2 teams than we expected there to be based on like what remains the rest of the way with the schedule. And I don't know if 10-2, like I don't think every SEC team that goes 10-2 is getting in. And so now you start to weigh worst loss, best win, sure, stuff like that.
Right. That's going to be the dicey part is, because say there are a bunch of teams that end the season with that record, you're going to have to start splicing, all right, strength of schedule, who played who when, who was healthy when they played them. Like, because you're right, say there's five or six teams that end the season with that record. And again, there probably won't be, because normally it just shakes out in a way that makes it a little bit easier. But maybe there will be, and say there are. Like,
there's
if you're Texas A&M and you finish the season 10-2 and you went through that schedule, you have an argument to get in over certainly 10-2 teams in other conferences. You might have an argument to get in over a one loss team in the Big 12, because that's the conference that's going to be that's wild. Like every weekend those teams play and it's a 3-point spread because everyone in that conference is the exact same.
Yeah,
like there's a little bit of separation and obviously you've got a couple undefeateds, but yeah, I don't know.
You brought up Texas A&M. Like, they got a home game against LSU. Mm-hmm. The winner of that specific game probably is 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the way is South Carolina, New Mexico State, Auburn, and then home against Texas. Like, Texas A&M, if they get past LSU, is probably going 10-2.
Probably, but who knows? I mean, they probably beat Mississippi State tomorrow. LSU's got Arkansas. I don't know. Arkansas's playing pretty good.
I told you, I'm feeling that's my pick. I'm feeling them.
And I hope you're right for Bo's sake, because I want LSU to do well for him. But I don't know. I mean, you go look at Nussmeier's numbers. He had those huge throws. He was 22-50. Like, it was one of the least efficient games we've seen all year.
I'm convincing myself, and this is part of the problem with me as a fan, is I just start convincing myself of wild theories. That's a springboard. What happened, the touchdown in regulation to end the game, and then the end regulation and the touchdown in overtime, it's a springboard. It's built up. This is what I'm telling myself, Bunk.
You might
it's
be
built
right.
up confidence in him. It's unleashed like something. He's going to put terrible throws out there, and it's just going to work out. And they're going to throttle Arkansas.
You might be right.
Or he's going to have too much confidence, and Arkansas is going to have four interceptions.
One thing that I feel confident in this far into the college football season is that the gap between the elites and the next level is smaller than it's been in quite a while. The gap between the top teams, if you want to include that next level and the elites, and the middle class is closer than it's ever been. And the gap between the great teams and the bad teams is closer than it's ever been. Like,
right.
Transfer portal and NIL and all of this movement has lowered the ceiling a little bit, but it's also raised the floor a little bit. That's how you get Vanderbilt beating Alabama. That's how you get Kentucky beating Ole Miss. Like, that's how you get some of these games that we've had so far, which there's going to be more of. Like, we're 6 weeks into the year and you've already seen them. There's going to be more games like that where, and I just for the sake of argument, like where a Mississippi State gives Texas A&M trouble. That's who plays tomorrow. I'm not predicting them to win, but like something like that is going to jump up and happen again, because that's what's happened so far this season, which is really, really fun. Speaking of springboards, hopefully what happened at the end of the New Orleans game for the Falcons was one. Maybe the springboard was the performance offensively against Tampa. Maybe last week going up against Carolina, doing what they did in the run game was a springboard. But they've won three games in a row, which is awesome. They're playing a team on Sunday afternoon who's lost three games in a row. It's not very often that good teams lose four games in a row, and the Seahawks may very well not be a good team. If you listen to any of the people that I talked to this week and the shows that I went on, they're down in the dumps about this football team. And I understand why. They just haven't been playing well, and they've got a lot of injuries as well. As we transition into keys to the game, why don't we sort of ping-pong back and forth? You want to give your first key, and then I'll give mine?
I think continue finding balance, especially against a Seattle sure. team that will allow yards on the ground. And I think, like, it was great to see Kirk go for 400-some-odd yards, but, like, I said it last week, I'd also be fine winning a game handily with, and I was almost right on the dot. I said, like, 225 yards, and he was right around there, mm-hmm. and you're comfortable. Bijan gets in the end zone. Tyler Allgeier takes over. You almost go double backs at 100 yards, and if they had kind of switched off carries a little bit at the end of the game, Bijan could have got to 100 as well. I just, for me, you've got to work with what's the other team. You mentioned it earlier. Whatever the other team is going to give you, take it. It sounds like the Seattle team's going to give you yards on the ground. Mm-hmm. Take it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have – Kirk Cousins is fourth in the NFL in passing. Mm-hmm. If he loses the MVP because we decided to run the ball against Seattle on way to a win, like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. If that's what ends up happening, that's fine. I'll take it one step further as far as talking about the run game. Have a better running attack than they do, because right. the one thing that and that's more about the Falcons' run defense, I would say, yeah. than it is about the Seahawks' rushing attack. The Seahawks have good running backs. They just haven't gotten a lot done in their running game this season because their offensive line isn't very good. So they haven't been able to really get it going. I mean, Ken Walker can go. Zach Charbonnet is a good player. They almost have a similar vibe to what the Falcons have going with Bijan and Allgeier in terms of sort of like a lightning and thunder duo. But I need the Falcons duo to be better than the Seahawks duo on Sunday afternoon. If for no other reason, then I need to see the Falcons defense be able to stop the run a little bit better. Like I'm over here, like I'm putting the pass rush and the ability to get the quarterback on the ground to the side for a moment, because when we asked about that yesterday with Jimmy Lake, the first thing he talked about was stopping the run. He said, and maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. As soon as we talk about pass rush, they talk about other stuff, which is fine. But say it's true what he says, which is if we can stop the run on first or second down and make them get into obvious passing situations, then maybe the pass rush can get going. We'll see. I'm going to wait on that one. But what I would like to see is the run defense be more effective.
You need to make them more one-dimensional than you are sure. on offense. And I think we're all heading towards the same discussion. And that is, okay, if we're not going to sack the quarterback, Geno is the number one passer in the NFL right now in terms of yardage.
In terms of yardage.
In terms of pure yardage. Yeah. And we know they can get it with the receivers that they have. There's also a secondary that is not giving up big plays through the air. And not very often. Certainly not over the top. Mm-hmm. And so, if you're not going to get to Geno, just – and I know this is like something we've said, like, I don't want to hear this anymore. Impact him. Yeah. Affect him. No. If he has to throw the ball away, if he has to go to a check down, fine. You can't get – Jacob Smith and Lockett.
DK and Lockett.
DK Metcalf. You can't let them – get open 20-plus yards down the field.
Now, I'm flat-out lowering my expectation.
So you're back to affect the quarterback.
I am. I'm lowering my expectation for the pass rush. Because, again, what I expect from them and what they do is completely unrelated. So I'm going to stop setting myself up for disappointment and thinking that this week is going to be a different week as far as getting to the quarterback. There's arguments as to why it might be. Meaning that Geno Smith throws the ball more than anyone else in the NFL does. You're right, he leads the league in passing. He also leads the league in attempts by like 35 because they can't get the run going,
and he'll
so they
turn
have
it
to
over.
Throw it. He's got 6 interceptions to 6 touchdowns. So for a guy who's thrown the ball 250 times, to only have 6 touchdowns is telling you something. He's also thrown 6 interceptions, like you said. He's also, and this is where I talk myself back into it, I start walking back down this path, he's been sacked 19 times, which... if you look across the league, there's only 2 other guys that have been sacked more than that, and I take Deshaun Watson out of it because that offensive line's terrible, and he's terrible, and what's happening in Cleveland is a disaster. Only rookie Caleb Williams is more. He's been sacked 20 times. Geno's been sacked 19 times. So it can be done by other teams. Just maybe
but it all goes back to stopping the run if you're going to do that.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I'll flip it around with what the Seahawks can do on defense. They're 8th in the NFL in getting sacks. And so just another challenge for the offensive line. Maybe their mm-hmm. biggest challenge since week 1 with TJ Watt. I mean, you go through the teams that are above them. We haven't played any of them. So, like, this is their biggest challenge offensive line. Don't forget, you know, you still got Neusel there. I think they've been very good, though. I think the offensive line has been very good this year.
What is the I know the Falcons are favored by 3. Over-under 51.5. Now, some about this game just kind of feels like...
this game's 30-20.
Quite a few.
Some up there.
Yeah, I could see the Falcons maybe like 34.
34-26?
34-24, 34-27, something like that. Like, I think the Falcons are going to cover the 3. But
the good news is finally we feel comfortable if we get in a shootout that we can score.
Oh, yeah.
In previous years, it's been like, man, we got the past couple of years, we're like, if they get to 24, we're in trouble, man. 20?
The Falcons, they scored
18 points a game last year,
They scored more points last week than in any game in the Arthur Smith era. They scored 38 points last week.
Sample size, Bonk.
The high water, yeah, six games. The high water mark for Arthur Smith, if I'm not mistaken, was 37, right? And I know there's a lot working against him. We don't have to rehash all that nonsense. But, yeah, I feel like the Falcons can certainly win a shootout. This doesn't have to be a shootout. But I think the Falcons get it done. I think they get to 5-2. They get 4 in a row. They're 5-0 in conference. Love to see it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA to wrap things up. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Load up the phones here on a happy hour Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Hey, Dukes and Bell coming up next, obviously. They're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. If you're looking for something to do this afternoon, head up there and hang out with the fellas. We'll chat with them in about 15 minutes or so. But before we do that, let's get out of the phone lines. A couple phone lines available, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Mike in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, fellas? All right, got a good one today.
All right.
If you can see somebody entertained from the past that's not with us anymore, who would you see? I would like James Brown in the juke joint drinking some brown liquor.
Yeah.
Second question, if you could set the temperature year-round in Georgia, where would you set it at? I like 69, 79.
All right. Thank you, Mike. 69, a little low for Bo. I saw that face when he said that. Probably even a little low for me, too. Like, perfect temperature for me is no humidity, 74.
I'm a little cooler. I like 67.
Okay.
Because if you want to wear long sleeves, you probably can. Sure. Without,
so, like, right now, you're loving it.
It was cold this morning.
Okay. But it's going to be, like, 70 this afternoon.
I'll be inside.
What y'all got against water? I just love being on the water, and you can't do that at 75.
No, that's true.
No, you don't want to do that. So where are you? I mean, because you're probably way 90. Hotter. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wait, what did you say?
90.
No,
and Randy would be
not.
With you. You guys both love it so hot. And I don't, it's fine. I mean, I'm not going to complain about it. I live here. So, like, it's going to be hot a lot of the year. But this is my wheelhouse right now. This is my time of year. This is my time to shine. The flannels
Enjoy
come
it.
Out.
You got a couple weeks.
I could still wear all that when it gets cooler, but, like, it's just, yeah, I love it, man. We're going to have a fire in the backyard tonight. It's going to be a real treat.
By the way, first question, I would have said Frank Sinatra.
Okay, that's a good one. Man, I don't even know. Jimi Hendrix, like back in like Woodstock era, Jimi Hendrix would be amazing. That would have been pretty cool to see prime Michael Jackson. Like a prime, like,
well,
Thriller era Michael Jackson
also, like,
concert.
I guess we're thinking entertainer. If we include athlete into that, like the athletes I would have liked to have seen, it opens up a whole nother door.
Who would it be?
I probably would have loved to have seen Babe Ruth. Because in his era, when he was hitting 60 home runs and other guys were hitting like 22.
Yeah, like the second leading home run hitter in baseball had 21 or something.
Like, he took over the career home run lead at like 108 or something.
I think it would have been really cool because it's been, and this is more just like an existing during someone's career.
Also Jackie Robinson.
Rather than being there for a game. But it would have been really cool to have been old enough to understand what he was doing when Muhammad Ali was Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, to have been alive to watch that would have been really, really cool. Adam is in Watkinsville. Hey, Adam.
What's up, y'all?
Hello, Adam.
All right. Andy, I apologize about that, but I see you still out there pandering.
It's all right. It's all right.
But, no, it's all good, man. Get that money.
All good.
But, Abe, earlier you said you're going to be there all next week?
Yeah, I'm in with Bunk all next week, yes.
Okay. So my question is, are you going to be calling in any days? Because if my dude Mark Z shows up talking about them pinstripes, man, I can't take it when Randy's on vacation. Every other 5 minutes, he brings up the pinstripes.
I mean, baseball playoffs, man. Get it all
Thank
over
you, Adam. It would be funny because, look, it's not a surprise or a secret to anybody. You listen to the show. Once the Braves are done, we don't really talk a ton of baseball. Bo will get it in the back page every once in a while. And I watched the Cleveland New York game last night. Like that was a fun game.
There's a couple of games, sports, whatever that like they're. We just not really met. Like, the Hawks had their final preseason game. Bufkin scored 31 points. Atlanta United's got their playoff lives on the line. Like, we're not talking about the Yankees either. Like, if I'm going to talk about United and the Hawks, I'm definitely not talking about the Yankees.
We got 3 hours.
Sorry.
And it's a huge college football Saturday.
Yeah.
And the Falcons are Sunday. On a three-game winning streak. And there's just a lot to talk about as far as those things go. But I'll say this. Had Mark Zeno been the guest host today, the Yankees would have come up for sure. Like, cause he can't not, and he's a diehard fan. Like, that's what it is. I mean, I'm probably the only person around here that talks about the Washington Huskies, but I talk about
them. Would you have walked him towards it?
No,
like kind of reference some other blown game. And then, you know, who blew a game was the Yankees.
I would have tried really hard to avoid it because once we got there, I imagine
can't get away from
he would have stayed there, and obviously it didn't go well, so he'd been really mad about it. So, yeah, I wouldn't
want to. Boy, there was like a 12-minute stretch, though, on Twitter/X where Yankees fans were running wild last night.
Out of rage?
No.
Oh.
Before.
Oh, before.
Before Big Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, they were going nuts. Put him in a Hall of Fame.
Big
That's
Christmas.
Why he's the captain.
Big
you know,
Christmas
all this stuff.
Is a great nickname. All right, Ed's in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello, Ed.
Andy, hey, I want to, you know, say on behalf of 99% of the listeners to your program that we support you and the endorsements that you do on the air. I will tell you, I was more offended, you know, when I listened to Abe's show the other night when he was advertising his OnlyFans site. But I digress. Okay. My question is, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, what is the parameter? I see it's going to be open for the Georgia Tech game, and it's going to be open for the Falcons Sunday, but it just seems like the stadium is closed 80-90% of the time, even when the weather seems good enough to be open. Do you guys know what the thought? I know they have to make the decision like 4 hours before the game, but what is the thought process as to when it should be open? Because it just seems to me like they prefer it closed.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. I think they do prefer it closed. I think the teams prefer it closed as well, just so there's a more consistent environment, so there's nothing at play, especially as far as the kickers go. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a pretty narrow spectrum between how cold and how warm it can
be. Yeah, temperature-wise, atmosphere-wise, sun, game time, and how that's going to be impacted by the sun. There's a pretty slim amount of games.
It can't be warmer than something like 85 or something like that. Maybe, I don't know what the top end is.
I think it might even be lower than
that. They don't want it colder than a certain temperature. So, no, I'm with you. Like, it isn't open all that much, unfortunately. It's great when it is. It's cool when it's open. Did he say it's going to be open for Notre Dame Tech tomorrow? Seems like it would be.
They did announce, yeah.
Oh, they did. Okay, good. I mean, I also don't understand. I don't know what all goes into it, but say the conditions are a little bit different than you thought they were going to be. You just hit a button and it opens?
They made a change. I think it was for a United game. At one point, they had announced, and they'd be like, nah, sorry, not open.
Okay, simple as that.
Storm
all right,
rolling.
Here's Derek in Charlotte, who I believe is the one that sent me the picture of what he was drinking earlier. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's up, brother? That tall glass I had, it was for Randy. It was a Busch Ice.
Oh, they're Busch Ice. That's right.
Of course. You know what I'm saying? But another thing I want to tell you is, is it a small chance that Bobby Petrino could possibly become the Florida head coach? It's wild. I know it's wild, right?
I think it's possible. We talked about it earlier this week. Why not? Abe's the Florida guy.
No, we're not hiring Petrino.
Well, you're not hiring Petrino, but look what he's doing at Arkansas. The offense is playing great.
Let's wait till LSU takes care of him.
I don't know. You got to hire somebody. Got to hire a name. It can't be another hey, this guy did pretty good in the Sun Belt.
If Bobby Petrino's the best we can do, the program's fallen further than I thought.
Okay. I mean, the weird thing for me about the Kiffin
thing.
We really
can't get Matt Campbell.
It's every time. Yeah, Campbell would be good.
We really
Campbell
can't get someone.
And his star is a little bit brighter now.
Back up?
back up. Yeah, they're 6-0.
Put the word out there that we back up.
What's weird is every time Ole Miss loses a game, Florida fans are like, okay, good, now we can get him. It's like, wait a minute. What, you want him more because he's losing? I understand you feel like you could be maybe more likely to get him, but
I'll tell you who we're holding out for. Let the Buckeyes fire that guy.
Okay.
Let them fire a guy. I understand the stigma. I'll still take him.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll still take him.
I don't know. Matt, I like the idea of Matt Campbell for sure. I don't know. Interesting situation to be in. Let's get the takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show. We will start with me because Randy's not here. Randy be out all next week too. Abe filling in. Great work today, Abe. We'll have Abe all 5 days next week as well. Speaking of Abe, he broke into the Texas Longhorn Stadium one time with his dad and stole property. So
I'll try and find that and bring it in next week. I'll try and find the blade of grass.
A lot of people hit me up about that. My brother said he did the exact same thing at UNC when he was on campus.
They got to be normal. We did it at the Horseshoe, too. We broke in there.
My high school graduation was at the Seahawks Stadium, and they made us all sign a thing that said we wouldn't go on the field, but we snuck a football in, and we all went on the field after we walked across the stage, whatever. And we were like playing catch. They got very mad at us. But what are you going to do? We graduated.
What would be the point of having anything at the Seahawks Stadium that's not on the field?
No, we were on the field, but we were like on a platform, and we weren't supposed to go on to the other part of it. But of course we did, because we were idiot 18-year-old seniors in high school.
Yes, what do they expect? So the Saints were a pretty impressive bundle of crap last night. Mm-hmm. And Randy went on vacation knowing full and well he wouldn't have to back it up on Monday.
I'm just hoping Adam in Watkinsville maybe can hook me up with the password to my OnlyFans account. I think I've been locked out.
Hey, man, we all got to make a buck somehow. BlueChew.com, promo code Andy. All right?
Can always make your feet.
Yeah. Just get a mold of your feet. $3,500 for the pair. It's too expensive. All right, we'll come back. We'll see what's up with Dukes of Bell. They're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll check in with the guys next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.